Tommy, this show is about the Kansas City Chiefs, what they were able to accomplish, the second team to ever come from double figures down at the half to win a Super Bowl. This is about Patrick Mahomes, his legacy. This is about the Chiefs franchise. How many consecutive AFC championships, another Super Bowl appearance, a second Super Bowl trophy. This is about the Hunt family, what they have built in Kansas City in such a short time. This is about Andy Reid, where his place in the pantheon is in terms of the all-time coaching greats. Of course, last time it was one to legitimize his claim as one of the all-time coaching greats. Now he is moving up the pantheon. There's so many people that this win means so much to. You have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, may end up as the greatest quarterback of all time. One of the greatest tight ends of all time, may end up as the greatest tight end of all time. And the interesting thing is, how many people said, oh, you know, this Chiefs team might not win the AFC West this year. It all seems rather amusing now, doesn't it?
I was one of them. I was one of them. I mean, I've got the receipts. I'll be honest. I picked the Chargers to win the AFC West. So, you know, this was supposed to be a retooling year. It was supposed to be a rebuilding year.
It can't be better without Tyreek Hill, right?
Here we are. Here we are. The first one 3 years ago was about getting the monkey off their back and getting the monkey off the back of Kansas City fans.
Of an entire fan base, yes.
That was the first one. This one was about legacy. And building that legacy, the legacy of Patrick Mahomes as the greatest quarterback on the planet currently and potentially maybe of all time, depending on where his career pans out from here. Maybe. Who knows? But it certainly puts him in rarefied air.
On the path.
Legacy for Andy Reid. The number of teams, the number of coaches, the number of quarterbacks, the number of the pairings of coach and quarterback that have one Super Bowl in history, there's a lot of them. There aren't as many that have two.
Nope.
And there aren't as many that have more. So you've taken a step up the ladder. You're climbing that summit. I'll tell you, for Andy Reid, 2-2 all time in Super Bowls in his career sounds a whole hell of a lot better than 1-3 does.
Sure.
You know, and so it was about legacy. It was about the legacy of this current franchise and its current iteration. It was for the fan base who, I believe, and I'm one of them, and I think you are too, believe that you cannot absolutely one bit take any of this for granted.
No.
Because it is so fleeting, and it could go away in a heartbeat. So soak it in, live it up, and enjoy this. It was for all of that. It was for the legacy more than anything else. And there was a period of time where I wasn't sure they were going to get it done, but they did.
So many different storylines about this. You know, from the Chiefs starting the game, you know, giving up the touchdown, answering back, then going into the halftime break down by 10, the doink. There are so many major moments in this game. You know, we'll get to all of them as we can in this show. You know, I think that you have to start with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes going against Jalen Hurts for the second straight week. Some idiot on this show that might be on the left side of your screen said that, you know, oh, gee, I guess maybe the other quarterback that may have an advantage because a healthy Jalen Hurts is going to be better than a hurt Patrick Mahomes. And the idiot who's talking right now may have been wrong on that for the second straight week. Patrick Mahomes didn't try to do too much. He was 21 for 27, three touchdowns. Didn't have a huge explosive, didn't go for 500 yards, but he had 182 really, really important yards. The Chiefs had a huge advantage in special teams in this game, despite the doink.
Yeah.
But Patrick Mahomes, 131.8 passer rating, and in a game in which at halftime, you know, I was wondering, gosh, is he even going to be able to walk in the second half? Is he going to play in the second half? And there were people at my party, and I said, you know, if I have to put my hopes on one quarterback in the history of football, and say, I want this guy at 50% or this guy at 75%. I don't know what percent he was at. I will take an injured Patrick Mahomes over any other injured quarterback in history. I will stake my position on that now, that Patrick Mahomes is the best injured quarterback in the history of football. And we have not just this game, we have a volume of work. Even on the first Super Bowl run, he wasn't healthy, 100% healthy at the end of that. He sure as hell hasn't been healthy the last two games for Kansas City this season. And somehow he has found a way to win the biggest games of his life while he's not 100%. And to me, and like I said, so many other moments, but that 26-yard scramble at the end of the game when, you know, you were thinking, you know, how much does he have? And he is able to gut it out, and you juxtaposition that against a Cam Newton maybe 5-6 years ago when there's that fumble and he doesn't dive for it. He doesn't even go for it. He just kind of patty cakes his way around it. And you have Patrick Mahomes diving for balls, making the tough yardage, running 26 yards on a high ankle sprain that would have kept other guys out. You know, a lot of this legacy stuff, a lot of this big picture stuff that we're talking about today, it's about 15.
100%. And I know you're a longtime sports junkie,
of course,
as am I. So you're gonna recognize some of these other examples. I put what Patrick Mahomes did in the Super Bowl, and especially that 26-yard run, up in the same category as the following. Michael Jordan, the flu game in 1998. Kirk Gibson hitting the game-winning home run in the World Series.
We'll see you
for the Dodgers
tomorrow night.
And Curt Schilling, the bloody sock, in the World Series for the Red Sox. All of those examples, they powered through, they pushed through, they dug deep, they found something deep within themselves that I'm going to be the first one to sit here and say, I've never had to gut through anything like that before. Like, I wouldn't know what that's like. I can't compare myself to any of that. Like, I don't know. I mean, sure, I've been in pain before for different things, but I wasn't in excruciating pain having to perform at the highest level on the largest stage. Never been there before.
Nope.
So I would absolutely put that up with the all-time greats as far as gutting through performances when it ultimately mattered the most. And so, I don't know. I think that with Patrick Mahomes and what he showed and what he accomplished in that moment, in that entire situation, you know, to be honest, Jalen Hurts had a better stat line last night. I thought Jalen Hurts played terrific last night that game. It's too bad that you know, a lot of times, most of the time, the losing team doesn't get the MVP, because I thought Jalen Hurts was incredible and had the stat line to back it up. But Patrick Mahomes did something superhuman last night and was able to find a way to make it work. And on top of that, it wasn't just the execution and the performance. It was the adjustments and the play calling and the scheme in the second half to where it was flawless and perfect. I saw a stat that just blew me away, that in the second half, Kansas City had 231 yards available offensively on their drives combined. 231 yards on every single drive in the second half. They gained 228 out of the 231 possible in the second half.
And they could have gained the last three.
Right. Well, and actually that number is a little bit smaller because they ran around and kneeled on that final drive. But they were flawless, and they had to be. That was the only way that they were going to win that game, was they had to play a perfect second half. And they did. No turnovers, no penalties, no sacks. Only one incompletion, and that was a throwaway that Patrick Mahomes had in the end zone. It was flawless. It was perfect. And that's a credit to the legacy of Andy Reid by making those adjustments, because I'll be honest with you, it looked pretty bleak going into halftime.
Well, and also I'm going to throw the first correction on myself. I believe that home run call was from the Minnesota Twins' Kirby Puckett. What I should have said is, I don't believe what I just saw. And, you know, which is very apropos for this when you mentioned Gibson juxtaposed with Patrick Mahomes. You know, the Chiefs' defense had a very difficult assignment. They really did shut down the Philadelphia running game except for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, I think, made many of the biggest plays in the game. He certainly had the biggest down the field. He had the longest passes of the game by far. Had two.
That's where I'm an idiot. Like you called yourself out. It was last week on this show that I said the best way to defend Jalen Hurts was to contain him in the pocket and make him throw a beat. And he did. And he was dropping dimes left and right. I mean, the guy was incredible.
It was infuriating to watch him beat double coverage more than once.
Yep.
And they also, the Eagles pretty much executed their game plan. They controlled the ball. They did have a running game. It was not the percentage that we really expected it to be. It wasn't dynamic. I mean, they ran the ball 32 times, 115 yards. It's not like they, you know, the Chiefs actually had more running yards than they did. But, you know, Jalen Hurts was pretty much unguardable. He had four touchdowns in the game. I think in terms of the positive he did the most positive for any team. He had a critical mistake. He had the biggest negative play that anybody had. Obviously, Harrison Butker missing that field goal could have turned out to be extremely massive for Kansas City. But you know, Jalen Hurts did a so much positive. But Philadelphia, in this game, controlled the clock. They had 11, almost 12 minutes more time of possession than Kansas City. They were nauseatingly good on third down. If the Chiefs lost this game, I was going to be thinking, you can't stop a quarterback sneak one time in the game. Everybody on the planet knows it's happening, and they're just going to whip us up front again. And Jason Kelce was going to say, yeah, we are. We're going to get 1 yard or two yards, and that you're not going to do anything about it. And I'm going to talk about
or
it.
Or even on a third and 14 when Dallas Goedert makes an incredible catch. Like, I felt like I was watching the AFC Championship game from 2019, I think it was, with the Chiefs and the Patriots.
Sure.
And Bob Sutton's defense, they could never get off the field on third down. I felt like I was watching that again.
They went 11 for 18. They controlled the clock, and it didn't matter. The Kansas City Chiefs, even in the highest leverage situation where the offense knew, like you mentioned, that there was really no room for error in the second half, they got every single score that they needed to get, and they didn't necessarily look like they were rushed at any point. They weren't harried at any point, unlike in some previous games, a loss to the Bengals in the AFC Championship game last season, where the Chiefs needed more out of the offense in the second half, and the offense just kind of disappeared. In the Tampa Bay Super Bowl loss, where all the Chiefs really needed to do was to protect Patrick Mahomes, and the offensive line just really never had any answers. And the Chiefs, consequently, offensively, never really looked comfortable in this game. In this game, their veteran leadership showed up, and they were able to make the key conversions. They were only 4 of 8 on third down. They didn't have to go for it on fourth down, but it seemed like in the second half, every single time a play needed to be made, and there wasn't, you know, you think back in this game, and obviously the punt return was absolutely massive. Not that the Chiefs couldn't have gone down and scored anyway, but it was absolutely massive to set up the Chiefs for that score. There was never a point in this game where you looked at the Chiefs' offense in the second half and thought, man, these guys just don't look comfortable. These guys all looked like, you know what? We've got Patrick Mahomes. We've got Andy Reid. We've got Eric Bieniemy, Travis Kelce. And I will give myself some credit since I called myself an idiot a couple of times. Isaiah Pacheco had a very tidy game running the football.
Yeah, he did.
15 for 76, one touchdown. It's not going to get him an MVP. It's not going to get him compared to Terrell Davis or Eric Dickerson or Emmitt Smith or any of these other, you know, Hall of Fame guys. But Isaiah Pacheco had some very, very nice runs for Kansas City. Jerick McKinnon had a couple of very nice runs for Kansas City, 4 for 34. And those guys, along with the leadership of Patrick Mahomes, the offense just kind of held it together and said, you know what, defense? We just need you to be good enough. And the defense had a couple of forced field goals. They got a couple of key little stops, a couple of punts. They were just good enough, and the offense said, you know what? We're great. We don't need you to be good. We just need you to be okay. We're going to take care of it today. And they did.
Well, and you mentioned Jerick McKinnon, and that's one of the highest IQ football plays that I've ever seen in my life when he got down at the 1 yard line.
I wonder if they talked about that. I would think that they would have to have talked about that.
I'm sure they did. Because Philly just let it, like, they just backed off and they were going to let him walk in.
Oh, absolutely.
And at that point, why not? Because the Philly offense was clicking. And at that point, there were some timely plays that the Kansas City defense made throughout the game, the forced fumble and, all of that.
Almost had another third down fumble. Stops.
They weren't able to. But overall, Philly was moving the ball at will. And so I'm sure that that thought was, all right, let McKinnon score. We'll get the ball back with 2 minutes to go or whatever. And then we have supreme confidence in our offense to march right down and score and tie, if not take the lead with a 2-point conversion. But the fact that McKinnon got down at the one, and the clock ran and they ran out of timeouts, and they never, that the last time, the only other time they touched the ball was with like 4 seconds left. That was a high IQ football play. But
just like we've always talked about, Tommy, master clock manager Andy Reid coming in the clutch.
Yeah. Okay, sure. That's a little tongue in cheek, but I get it.
It was today.
I,